As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We have had this conversation off air for quite some time. Is there an athlete? Who is the athlete that really got you into sports? And nobody could tell you that they weren't the absolute best. The hell with the stats or anything else. You know what you saw, and you thought that person was the absolute best. 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation. Franklin, Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
I like this question, and I don't think there's any particular reason that it jumped up on me. Although I am, like, we're at a point now where we're watching players that, I mean, somebody might have watched the Bam Adebayo game, and they're like, that dude is the greatest basketball player right on the planet. Did you see how many times he went to the free throw line?
Man, did you see the people that are like, he should have stopped at 81 to be the same as Kobe?
Why didn't Wilt stop at 81?
I don't know what the record was back then. I really don't know. I'm going to look that up. Like, what was the record that he broke?
Yeah, I mean, do you think Kobe would have stopped?
No. Well,
no. Kobe would have absolutely been like, try to score 83. Right. I'm going to block your next shot.
You know, I bet at some point he was like, let's get to 102. Or
probably
101.
Yeah, whatever I can do to, you go out there to compete at the highest level. You saw what he did in the Olympics?
Yes,
he went
absolutely.
Right through his own teammate. Drove through him.
You got to win.
Just like Cal Raleigh.
Yes. Man.
Although I will say this, I did see last night in the Dominican Republic and Venezuela game, Fernando Tatis, and I can't remember who it was, for Venezuela's catcher, they hugged. And I was like, again, I can totally respect that.
Right.
I can totally respect them also having a different approach to it, different cultures. I love it.
And some of these answers already are making me so happy. From the 940, Charlie Conway. From the Mighty Ducks, from the 682, the Ultimate Warrior. From the 210, Juan Gonzalez, without a doubt. He's the whole reason I wore 19 my entire life.
That makes listen, man, we grew up watching Juan Gonzalez. I will always love Juan Gonzalez.
For sure.
No matter what, I will always love that dude. For me, Kevin.
Like, whatever you say in your heart, to me, it's a crime he's not in the Hall of Fame. I realize how the numbers stack up and the other things, but I'm like, man, he was awesome.
There were two things. A, when we did our Rangers series, I loved it. It was awesome. I always hated that we couldn't get him.
Yes.
He seemed like the one that you just couldn't nail down. But whenever they said they were putting him in here in Texas,
right,
and he was coming back, I was like, oh my gosh. And honestly, I think he should have gotten no greater applause than he did.
Yes.
Rangers fans owed him that.
It was very mediocre, and I was upset about
that.
But
then again, Kevin, you've said there are some Rangers fans that believe that the Rangers just got here 10 years ago. So
that is true.
For me,
did a study about it.
Being a Rangers fan, I watched this guy do this over and over and over against our team, and it was when the Bash Brothers arrived.
Cut five.
Canseco bids for the second homer of the inning.
Watch
if
this.
It's fair, he's got it.
Whoa.
And it settles into the upper deck.
Oh, my goodness. McGuire hit one that close in that four-game series when the Oakland Athletics hit seven in the four-game series. And I mean close. This is another 20 feet into the fourth level.
All right, Alec, if you have a moment.
The way that he said Maguire.
I want that too, Maguire, but also the way that he's like, oh, it's deep, and that guy just goes, whoa! That was freaking amazing.
When Alec was like, what audio do you want? I had to go search. I actually, like, I went and searched and searched and searched until I found that one, because that was a guy right there that hit majestic home runs.
He did.
Like, he hit one in Boston that I believe went over the wall and landed in, like, some truck or something in the back. Like, he was just one of those, was like, could that have been 590 feet? It was insane.
Right.
But
hold on. Can you just play that one more time?
Canseco bids for the second homer of the inning.
Watch
if
this
it's
one.
Fair, he's got it.
Whoa.
And it settles into the upper deck.
Oh, my goodness. McGuire hit
all right.
that close.
McGuire.
McGuire.
But also, again, being a Rangers fan, I was watching an opponent do, like, he was bigger and stronger and hit harder, and I feared him every time he stepped to the plate. Then, you know, you go into the card shops, and there's the Bash Brothers, you know, poster with them with the giant white bats dressed in suits, like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Him and McGuire.
Thank you.
But it was Jose Canseco was the dude that I just feared the most, and I was like, he's got to be the best player on the planet, and then they won a World Series, and I was like, okay, they're very, very good. And then he gets to be a Ranger, and I got to see
him hit a home run off his head.
Well, yeah. So
I'm gonna go local here. I really thought about Ruben Sierra because I went back and like
he was so good.
I know, and I just checked the numbers. 1986, sixth for rookie of the year, but 1989 he finished second in AL MVP. And there was probably around that time that I was like, nobody could tell me anybody was better than him. But instead, we've gotten to have this guy in studio numerous times, hung out with him at the Final Four. Give me cut number 7. This was my first favorite Maverick, and I thought he was the best.
Down in 10 seconds. Blackman driving on Drexler, fakes, puts it up. It goes! Boy, I tell you, Blackman is getting the rolls tonight.
Man, I loved that broadcast team. So for me, it was Rolando Blackman. And I realized, like, Michael Jordan existed and was playing. But, like, this was also at a time when maybe you didn't get to see.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get to see every Michael Jordan game for sure.
Mm, yeah.
And so you only got to see.
WGN didn't love him.
Exactly. Well, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. I did not watch all the Chicago Bulls games at that time until I was a little bit older. From the 817, it's got to be Pudge. From the 858, Tony Gwynn is the one that got them into sports. That is an interesting one. I like it.
Tony Gwynn's one of my top five baseball players of all time. I just love the hitter that he was. Pudge brought so much excitement to the first game he ever played. We were like, what is this kid? And then he's like, let me throw this dude out over at first base real quick and show y'all who I am. You're like, what?
See, and that's some of these answers are going to be interesting because there was a time where I really do think you could argue that like Jose Canseco was the best or he was right at the best. Obviously, I think you could make that argument for Pudge and maybe to a certain extent, Tony Gwynn. There's a lot of things that go into it. But like, you know, some of these that people are going to say, like Rolando Blackman, somebody just said Eric Metcalf. Nobody is going to argue that that was like the best. Except for you, right? You had to stand up for your guy.
I can see at 713, like, if you just got into basketball those 2 years, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh,
like,
my
he was that
gosh,
great.
Yeah.
He was that great.
He was the dude.
Michael Jordan existed.
Sure.
But Hakeem Olajuwon, like, you were just watching him just destroy Shaquille O'Neal. And you're like, what is happening right now?
I like
and Shaq wasn't Shaq yet.
Yes,
but
that is true. And Hakeem proved that. Here's two people that are about a generation apart. From the 214, I'm 54, and it was Dr. J. And then from an 817, I'm a 33-year-old Arlington native. A-Rod was the guy for me. Regardless of what happened after all that, he felt like the Ferrari in the trailer park.
Dude, here's the thing about Dr.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. J. And this kind of goes back to it. I was watching a video on TikTok and he showed up. And I just remember thinking when I was a kid, Dr. J is the coolest.
Yes.
Like, he's the coolest dude out there. There's nobody that does things like when Michael Jordan was on his way. But I just remember seeing stories, seeing pictures of Dr. J and just being like, how?
Was it crazy to you when you found out he wasn't like an actual doctor?
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't know why he didn't play with a stethoscope. Yeah.
I'm with you.
When he took off his warm-ups, why wasn't it a doctor's coat? Was always my question.
Here are some of the ones that I love because, again, nobody's going to argue that these people were the best, but for you, they were the best. Hank Blaylock from the 214 and Alvin Harper from the 817. And that's the thing I love about it, especially if you grew up in the Metroplex. I know not everybody here did, but like, you could see how if you grew up in the Metroplex at a certain time, Alvin Harper was the best, mm-hmm. or Hank Blaylock was the best, or Blackman was the best. Nobody nationally was saying that, but to you in that time and place, they had to be the best.
817. Sean Kemp, I'm 43. That makes so much sense.
It really does. That, I mean,
the
look.
The Rain Man, dude.
And that 1990s Skybox card of him, like, full arm extended, ready to dunk the basketball.
I have that card. I love
awesome.
It so much.
His Fleer card is awesome that year. Now, Alec.
My cousin traded me that card. I don't remember what
it's
for.
It's a cool card.
But I just remember maybe it was a Sherwin Williams card or something.
And you're like, I did the best. Mm-hmm. Alec, I'm going to go to you, cut number six. This is an interesting one, too, because I could see how you could make a stronger argument that this player was closer to being the actual best.
And the Mavericks, Jason Kidd. Oh, what a pass to Terry. Makes the defensive play, gets the steal, and as pretty of a pass as you'll ever see.
So this was tough for me.
Okay.
Because
was that from his second time around?
Yes.
Interesting.
It was tough for me because I still vividly remember the NFL game that got me into football.
Which was?
It was Seahawks versus 49ers late in the season in 2013. Russell Wilson versus Colin Kaepernick. It was 19-17. The 49ers, with like 30 seconds-ish left in the game, kicked a field goal to win the game. And it was just so intense, and I loved the two running quarterbacks. That got me into football. But this, for me, Jason Kidd, the way that I even discovered he existed was odd. Was growing up, my mom, whenever she would go shopping for birthdays and stuff, she was on the cheaper side when it came to like video games and stuff.
Right.
So I want to say it was like 2012, 2013. She got me NBA 2K9 out of the clearance bin. And
have you gotten any other awesome 2K games lately?
Yes, from you. WWE 2K26. Thank you. It's awesome. And I'm going to download it tonight and get to work. But,
to work.
Yeah. Trust me, the My GM mode, I'm going to make SmackDown great again. I'm going to.
Oh.
I'm saying it now. Road Dog, bye. But, anyways, whenever you got the game, you would have the loading screen because back then it took forever for these games to download. It took like all day, but they would give you like, you could pick from like five characters on the loading screen and you could just shoot around an empty court just to kill time. And Jason Kidd was one of those characters. And I was like, huh, like I've heard of him, but I don't really know him. So instead of just shooting around after like 15 minutes or so, I decided to look him up and like watch highlights and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this guy is awesome. And then I started watching him on TV for real. And I'm like, dude, this guy rules. Like, he's not the biggest guy on the court by any means.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that's helping everybody else, especially in the later stage of his career. Like, the highlight that we played, it was some of the crazy passes and stuff and helping his teammates be great. That I was just like, nobody's going to give him his flowers for this play.
Yeah.
But he's the reason they scored on this play and they eventually won the game. So the facilitator that he was, the three-point shooter that he was at one point, I just thought he was the best and nobody could tell me anything otherwise.
I love everything about that answer. And you might have noticed one person we haven't mentioned so far.
Nick Van Exel.
I mean, that's true. From the 214, from another 214, from the 469, from the 972, Ken Griffey Jr. That answer is everywhere on here. And how could it not be? Like, if you're of a certain age.
Oh, yeah.
It, he was the best. Like, you could legitimately argue he was the best, or maybe that's not even really an argument. He had the style. He had the enthusiasm. I know he, like, maybe didn't invent it, but it felt like he made the backwards hat a thing.
I specifically remember the first time I saw Ken Griffey Jr. live. My dad and I were at a game, and my dad goes, "Oh my gosh, did you just see that?" And I was like, "I mean, there's a lot going on, Dad. What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Watch this." And Ken Griffey Jr. is back to the wall, flat-footed, throwing the ball from center field into the dugout at third base.
That's amazing.
And I was just like, you know, just being a kid that threw the baseball all the time, just watching him do it with such ease.
Yeah.
He's not crow-hopping. He's just launching that sucker. And that was when I was like, all right, who is this guy? I was young, and I was like, who is this guy? And he was like, that's Ken Griffey Jr. You're going to want to keep an eye on him. And then we went to go hunt down the card.
Yes.
You know, like, at that point, that's when we start hunting. And, like, this dude was, it was mind-blowing watching him.
I mean, there are other factors at play, of course, but his 1989 Upper Deck number one card, it started the next iteration of the hobby boom. And it is kind of ironic that we're going to be at the Dallas Card Show tomorrow.
Isn't it ironic?
Don't you think? I love these personal stories from the 479. I grew up watching Arkansas football, so it was Darren McFadden that really got me into sports. From the 575, Michael Crabtree. That catch versus Texas was my first sports moment that I remember as a child. And I know that's a big play and people remember that, but I love that, like, those specific plays, or Alec breaking down the specifics of a 2013 Seattle Seahawks game, that you're able to be like, this is the game that got me into sports. We've talked about it before. Like, I remember when the Sidekicks were playing, I think it was the Sockers for the championship, and it wasn't, like, easy to find that game. And you're just like, this is live or die. Even though you're like, it's not, you're going to be okay. You get to keep living your life. But, like, how many times do you still feel that way in sports? You're like, my goodness. If the Stars don't win this game, I'm going to die. And you're like, you'll be okay. But in that moment, that's how you feel.
Dude, Carter, my son Carter, I'm sorry, I know we're late here. My son Carter yesterday, their orchestra sweeps. They got all ones and everything. And he looked at me and said, the outcome isn't as exciting as I thought it'd be.
Oh.
And I said, but what about the friends you made along the way?
Gross. Look at Alec. He's the happiest he's ever been.
You know what he said?
You're right,
Dad. I was already friends with all of them.
Yes! That's the Carter I know. He's not there to have your weird heartfelt moment.
So that was fun.
All right, well, then you just need to have a discussion with him about making sure to stop and enjoy.
I think the only two things that have really been as exciting as I thought they would be, you know, kids are great and everything. But, like, winning the World Series was everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Mavericks winning that championship, those two things lived up to, I put so much care into it, and it matters this much to me.
Yeah.
And then being able to celebrate with the Tolos, oh my gosh.
By the way, from the 469, Mark Aguirre was that guy for me. I went to the game where his number got retired. It was one of the greatest times of my life, and we just had him on after that. Just know, he felt the same way.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.